think things. And it's a very meaningful scene. You see lots of pictures of adults with children. That's a dad and his little girl. But I want to tell you, a lot of times I think probably a lot of us struggle with this thought. Am I enough? Am I a good dad? Am I making good decisions? Did I do a good job? What about when I lose it? What about when I raise my voice? And I think that question, am I enough, goes into every area of our lives. Some of us struggle with that at work, on our jobs, as we're progressing in school. We struggle with that in our relationships. And if you'd be honest, most of us struggle with that as a Christian. Like, you know, the super spiritual Christians, most of us don't think of ourselves that way. You know, the Christians who have these massive encounters with God and these massive things happen to them, and these super missionaries and these, you know, the ones you see on television and all that stuff. It's like there's this constant question in our lives, like, are we good enough? Am I enough? And most of us come to a place where we just settle. I don't feel like I'm as good as other people. I don't feel like I'm as good a dad as some dads. I'm not as good at business, or I'm not as good at name it. And we have this underlying feeling, and most of us settle there. We settle in that place. You know, do you second guess yourself a lot? Do you feel guilty about the decisions or the things you've done in the past? When you look at your life, do you just not measure up to your own thoughts? You know, I've been preaching this series, A Shame-Free Gospel, and I love the songs we're doing, and they're talking about shame. But the truth is, most of us still judge ourselves. Now, we validate it. We explain it away in our heads. We have good reasons for judging ourselves. Like, if any of you saw the way I did, you'd judge me too. That's how we think. But the truth is, are you making as big an impact in the world as you want to? When you're coming to where you're at right now, can you look back with no regrets on your life? You see, the truth is, most of us judge ourselves. And what I want to do is I want to help you today take a step to set you free from that. Because the truth is, are only the special people good enough? You know, the really, really smart ones, or the super, super sensitive spiritual ones, the ones that have visions that are just full color, 3D. Are only those people good enough? Well, I want to tell you, when Jesus came to the earth, he turned everything upside down. And today, if you'll allow yourself to go there, I believe God wants to turn our minds upside down too. And really, I think he turned us right side up. Like Jesus gave, what about this? What if I could give you 100% guarantee, full money back guarantee, that you actually can end your life 100% sure that you accomplished everything God created you to accomplish? I sound like I'm a salesman selling Flex Seal. You know that stuff on TV they sell that you can make a boat out of a screen door? I feel like a Flex Seal salesman, you know? But what if I really can guarantee that you'll do the greatest thing, you'll have the greatest days of your life? What if that was true? What if you could quit questioning and judging and having regrets about your life? What if you could be 100% sure that it's going to turn out the way that God wants it to, that it's you are going to be good enough? What if I could really guarantee that? You see, I'm really speaking straight from the words of Christ, because that's what Jesus thinks. And today I want to challenge you to let your mind go of this 100%. I know it's true in our world, in the American world. We are 100% standing, we're good. We like judging ourselves. We like judging everything. But I want to tell you, there's a way to judge that'll set you free, and there's a way to live that you cannot look, you won't look back with regret on your life. There's a way to live that way, and Jesus set it up. Now, am I enough? That's a big question. That's a big question. You know, but you know what I want you to do? You see, when we look at this picture, right, I think most of us thought that we were the adult there. We were the dad. We were the mom. But you know, in God's eyes, that's not how God sees it. You see, the truth, in God's eyes, He sees us as little children. That's how He sees you. And He has a lot to say about that. I love this verse. He says in Matthew 19, "Then the little children were brought to Jesus for Him to place His hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples," you got to love those disciples, "they blew it again. Jesus," they rebuked the parents for bringing the kids. And then Jesus said, "Let the little children come to Me. And do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." You see, there's another place where Jesus said these words in John 3:3. "I tell you the truth," speaking to Nicodemus, He said, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." And Nicodemus said, "What, can I go back into my mother's womb? I'm a grown man." Then He said in another spot in Mark 9:42, "If anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in Me to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck." You see, Jesus said, if you want to walk in His kingdom, you have to become like a small child. That's the key. You see, that's the very first key to actually walking in His kingdom. You know what a small child thinks? They think they're enough. They think the whole world revolves around them. They think as long as they've got a hold of Daddy's hand, they're okay. They can climb mountains. They can fly. They can do. There's nothing in their life. And you know, we have all these ways that we think that we're not enough. But the truth is, if you want to live a life at the end of your life, if you want to look back and say, well done on your life, it starts right here. It starts right here. And we get so far ahead of that. So I just want to give you a few steps that will help you become a small child again. Now, if you don't want to be a small child, if you want to be smart, if you want to figure everything out, if you want to do all the work, if you want to earn everything, you're welcome to do that. That's what most of us do anyway. But in Jesus' world, you see, Jesus flipped the script on us. He did. He turned everything upside down in our world. And there is a way that seems right to a man that the end of thereof leads to death. You see, you want to be happy? You want to fulfill your destiny? You have to do this. So the first step to becoming like a small child is stop judging. Right? We've been talking about judging for 2 or 3 weeks now. Here's a verse. Y'all have had this verse. I've already told you this. Matthew 7:1. Do not judge. Americans, Christians especially, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged with the measure you use. It will be measured to you. And that's the word for judgment in Greek, krino. It means to condemn, to judge as guilty, to judge as less than. God said, do not do that. Your first step to becoming all that you can be is to quit judging yourself as less than, as not enough. Quit judging yourself that it would be better if you look like me or you look like Ricardo or you, well, you know what I mean? Quit judging yourself that it would be better, you would be better if you were just smarter or if you had more talent or if you didn't have the history you had or... You see how we judge? We judge we're not as good. And Jesus said, do not judge. Your first step to freedom comes in to stop judging. And Romans 14, and we did this. This is a big verse. Paul said, so whatever you believe about these things, he's talking about, remember eating the meat offered to idols or not eating the meat offered to idols and how they were judging. And he said, blessed is the man who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But the man who has doubts is condemned already. Everything that does not come from faith is sin. And here we've been trying not to sin, and we didn't realize it's just not living by faith. You see, because faith puts us in relationship with God. And we keep judging sin as stuff, things, and God doesn't judge that way. You see, there's a better way to live. There's a better way to do. I want to read, I gave you these, but I want to give you this word. It's that word for doubts there, it's a very interesting word. It's built on the same word as the other word for judgment. It's diakrino. He said, the man who judges that he's inferior, that's what that means. Do you ever judge yourself that you're inferior to other people? Do you ever judge yourself that you deserve to be punished or to not receive good things, that you deserve to be alone? Do you judge yourself? And that's the word we translate a doubt there. You know what doubt is? It literally means when you think that I'm not good enough. You see, and the man who does doubt is condemned. And that word condemned is this katakrino. And it just means the same thing. It means you've decided you're not good enough. You've condemned yourself. And Paul said that that's what sin is. Did you know sin is thinking you're not good enough? You see, it's everything that does not come from faith is sin. You know what's going to take more faith than you've ever done in your whole life? What I'm going to ask you to do this morning. First thing I know, it is hard to give up judging. Because judging is how we get ahead. It's how we feel good about ourselves. We put other people down. We make us feel better. Judging is how you improve. Judging is what everything does for us. Do you mean that I can live without that, that I'll be okay? That takes faith. That takes faith. And for all of us, I've got to believe that I am enough. When I've got 1,000 things screaming at me that I'm not, I don't make enough money, I don't see people changing, I don't have the influence, I'm not as smart as some people, I don't write as well, I don't read as well, what is it? You know, where's the deal? I can't paint that well, you know? Faith is believing that you're enough. And Jesus responds to faith. And anything that's not faith is sin. So the first thing we have to do is we have to make a decision. I'm going to stop judging. Now, there is a way to judge that's not condemning. And that's the other word for judge that we as Christians are more gifted at, discernment of seeing the difference in things. But it doesn't condemn. There's no judgment in there. There's no critical judgment. Now, here's the second thing. So the first thing we have to do is stop judging. You know what the second thing we have to do is you've got to come to this place in your life where you believe you're weak but not bad. I'm weak, I'm not bad. That kid walking with her dad, that little girl, she's not as strong as her dad is. But as long as she has his hand, she is as strong as her dad. But it's his strength, not hers. And you see, we were taught we were bad our whole lives, and that's not true. And it's what Paul says here. He said, I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. He doesn't say you're bad in your natural selves, you're just weak. Now, weak compared to what? Well, compared to supernatural, compared to the Holy Spirit's power, compared to the angelic realm, Now, that's what he's talking about. I'm okay, you're okay, humans are okay in their natural strength. We just can't resist the supernatural. And that's what Paul is talking about. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness leading to ever-increasing holiness. You see, because wherever you offer your body, that's who's going to empower you. And so when you, today, second decision. First thing, I'm going to quit judging myself. Second, I'm okay. I'm weak, but I'm not bad. That's how you find salvation. That's how you invite the Lord into your life. That's how you release His power on earth today, is when you come to Him by faith. God, I'm weak. I need you. It looks like that. So, and Paul had this figured out. You know, Paul the apostle who wrote over half the New Testament? He had this figured out. He said, for 2 Corinthians 12:9, when Paul was talking about himself to the Lord, then he said to me, Jesus said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. How powerful is God's grace? It's the most powerful thing on earth. He is the creator. He's the sustainer. He has organized and orchestrated all of life and all of the universe. And His power that did all of this is plenty for you and me. So he told Paul, he said, Paul, you can trust me. I know you're weak, Paul, but my power in you is sufficient. So now I'm just presenting this to you this morning because I know this is the secret to life. It's when we begin to live the way Paul lived. Paul didn't stand on his own strength. He trusted God. He became like a small child, and he said, God said, my power is made perfect in our hard work, our intelligence, our finances, our life accomplishments. No, you know what God's power is going to be made perfect in? Every time you turn your eyes to Him. And God, where do we go? What do? I need you. And that is when He can release His power in your life. And your life no longer is just natural. You become supernatural. And that's where Paul lived. And Paul said that. He said, that's why for Christ's sake, for His sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And He gets the glory, He gets the credit. So I know this sounds too simple for you guys, right? It sounds way too simple. Okay, Alan, let me see if we get this straight. Let me see if I got this straight. The first thing I have to do is stop judging. Yeah. You have to stop judging, because judging is not based on faith. Second thing you have to do is believe that you're weak, you're not bad. Okay? So far it's pretty easy, right? It's like, are you serious? This is too easy. You mean that is what's going to change the world? Yeah. It's called the shame-free gospel. It is what's going to change the world. Now, there's another thing you need to do. Okay, we're not finished yet. Now, it's funny, when I went to this, we have in Romans, Paul was writing the letter of the Romans. He was writing that to the Gentile Christians, right? And the Gentile Christians hadn't grown up Jewish, and so they'd grown up without the prophets and without the Torah and the law. They'd grown up without the Psalms and all the beauty of the Old Testament. But they came to know Christ by faith, without any history. And there was some problems going on there. Some of the Romans were getting proud of their relationship with God, all based on faith. And they were judging the Jewish brothers. And So Paul wrote this long letter, and he talks about this letter. He says, guys, listen, you might, in Romans 11, 19, you might begin to think, you Roman Christians, you Gentile Christians, that some branches, the Jewish nation, was pruned or broken off just to make room for you. And then Paul says, yeah, that's true. They were removed because of their, and we thought it was their sin, which is sin. Well, Alan, wait, there's more to sin than that. You know what the problem with the Jewish people was? They added to. They didn't just stick with their relationship with God. They kept adding and adding and adding and adding and adding to that. And all of a sudden, they're not trusting a heart just loving God. They're trusting all the rules and regulations and all the stuff they created. You see, they weren't believing. They added to it. He said, but remember this, you're only attached by your faith. Do you know how we attach to God? One way. This is so radical that you can't get it. You just can't get it without revelation from God. The only way you're attached to God is by your faith. That's it. So, how simple is that? It's too simple. That if you're living by faith, now, I want to answer that question. What does that mean? Since God didn't spare the natural branches that fell into unbelief, perhaps He won't spare you either. And so if you fix your gaze on the simultaneous kindness and strict justice of God, how severely He treated those who fell into unbelief, yet how tender and kind He is in His kind is His relationship with you. So keep on trusting in His kindness. You see, we start with faith, and we live with faith, and we end with faith, and that releases God's power into us, and it changes the world. It's the secret to you accomplishing everything you ever wanted to accomplish. You know, I think about, so what do you do? How do you succeed in this life? And Romans 14, 23, remember what it said. Everything that does not come from faith is sin. Well, wait, you mean even when I give to the hungry? You mean even when I serve and love people? Even when I do all these other things, the good things I do, that's sin if it's not coming from faith? Yes, because sin isn't bad. Sin is a disconnection from the Father. And the Jewish people were living by the best law, the best rules, the best organized culture, business, in every area of their lives. God had given them the law. They were living the best there was, but they weren't connected with Him by faith. They didn't have a relationship with Him. And it wasn't what they were doing, it was what they weren't doing. You see, when David wrote the 23rd Psalm, if you remember that psalm, it's not just a psalm written to be used at funerals, okay? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. You see, everything about that psalm focuses on the shepherd who provides for the sheep. And as your Christianity turned into something that focuses on you instead of Him, that's what judgment does. But when you choose to live one way by holding His hand and you trust in that, now the focus is off you, because guess what? You're just like me. You're too weak. But when you hold His hand, His strength throbs inside of your body. You know, I love this. I love Romans 12 and 11 and 14. 13 is good too. Romans, if you go back and you read all those chapters, you'll find out in Romans 11, Paul is laying it out there. Guys, this is what happened. This is why the Jewish nation has fallen away from the Lord. And then at the end of Romans 11, Paul makes this amazing statement about the amazing, just how wonderful God is. that he's beyond everything. No man can think like him. Nobody can understand his ways. He's the creator and the sustainer of all life. And then in Romans 12, which is right still a part of that, Paul said this. Okay, here's the key. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So, I want you guys to say it with me. I'm afraid that there'll only be like two people say it. I want you to say, I am enough with me, okay? Ready? On three. One, two, three. I am enough. Let's say it again. I am enough. I'm going to say it until somebody gets it. I am enough. Now, why are you enough? Because of him. Like they said, we sang it in the song. That guy got it right. It's straight out of the scripture. You're enough because anytime you reach out and you take his hand, his power and strength fills you up. And now it's not just you, it's you and your daddy. And you happen to have the biggest, baddest daddy on the block. He's super dad. Now, I love this because it's really true. So, our focus always turns to our stuff. But do you know what God's focus is? His focus is on you. And he just wants you to walk with him. And it looks like this. So that little girl, he just wants you to do this one thing. You want to guarantee the outcome of your life. I used to heard this say, I probably said this before, long-term obedience in the same direction will deliver amazing results. That's really true. But do you know the real truth? Long-term obedience in reaching for his hand will release his power in your life in ways you've never dreamed, and you'll never have to look back, because you know what happens? Here's when you grab his hand, it's going to flow through every fiber of your being. I am enough. Those voices are going to keep saying, well, look back at your past. Think about yesterday. Think about what you're doing today. You want to judge yourself 100 times, but when you make your whole goal in life to hold his hand, then every day you can wake up and say, I was enough yesterday, and I am enough right now, and I'm enough for tomorrow. You see, it's really the truth. Here's what it looks like. I try to get this in the simplest way I can, because to me it's a huge deal. You guys are like me. We all deal with life or death stuff all the time, right? It's like, it's life. It's important. The decisions you make are so important. The choices we make determine so much. And we want to be enough for our family. We want to be enough for our business, for our job. We want to be enough just for ourselves. But what if the only thing you have to do to be enough is reach for his hand? By faith, reach for his hand. Let me give you what that looks like. Every day, 100 times a day, every time you make a choice, every time you think of what you're doing, you give it this thought. Okay, Jesus, I've got to decide whether to walk down those steps or that step. Well, Alan, that's stupid. No, it's not. It's not, because all that really matters is, am I reaching for his hand? By faith. And if I never do it, then I'm living, I'm alive, I'm making it, but I'm not walking in his power because I'm not living by faith. But every time in my life, it's like this. When I'm doing counseling with people and stuff, you know, I don't know how many times I've had somebody sit across my desk from me and they want to die, right? Or they, whatever. It's serious. It's always serious. It's always serious. I have tremendous compassion for people that are hurt, and I want them to be okay. Can you imagine what that's like if you do that? Shoot, I have counselors that just are amazed because they say, you've been doing this for 20 years daily? How do you do it? I'm like, well, I've got this secret. His name's Jesus, and I'm always wrong. I don't know what to do. I've got a bad memory. Sometimes I can't even remember the name of who I'm praying for. I try to write it down, but sometimes I write it wrong. I'm like, God, I can't help them. But you know what I do? I'm like, here's how I grab, this is how I grab his hand. Okay, God, what should I say? And 99% of the time, I don't hear him. I just have to believe. Ooh, what is faith? Believing. I believe that if I grabbed his hand, he's in control now. And whether I do it wrong or do it right, none of that matters because I've got this daddy. And you know, that little girl's walking towards the beach, right? You know who's responsible for her? Her dad. Who's protecting her? Her dad. Who's going to get her lunch? Her dad. Everything in her life is because of him. You know what? You need to get smaller, and God needs to get bigger. Here's how he gets bigger. Well, but Alan, you miss it sometimes. Yeah, and you know what? When I have a good dad, he will use my missing it to help me grow and mature and understand. He's in charge. He's not going to let me walk into the ocean and drown or get eaten by a shark. He's good. You see, God wants you to have a new journey. He wants you to have a new journey, a journey that's 100% guaranteed to turn out well. You know how it is? You grab his hand. Now, you know what? Sometimes I'm right. Sometimes I'm wrong. Doesn't matter. I got a good dad. He's in charge. So this morning, I just want you to do something. If you want to have you want your life to become supercharged in every way, stop judging. Stop judging. Admit that you're weak. Embrace it. God, I'm not the smartest cookie in the basket of apples. You know what I mean? I can't even get my metaphors right. You know, but I don't know. But do you think that matters? Not when I've got his finger. And I'm locked onto his finger. I don't care who you are or how non I am, I'm enough. And I feel like enough. And I don't get depressed. And I don't worry. And I don't, well, Alan, you're going to make mistakes. Hallelujah. Doing right and wrong is what you judge with. I judge by this one thing. God, am I trying to walk with you? Did I reach up and grab your hand this morning? Everyone who did it, you're right, even if you're wrong. Because he's going to help you. That's how children grow, is by doing things, messing up, and then you correct them. You give them instruction. It's not punishment, it's instruction. You know, it's how we do this. But what messes it up? When you judge yourself, you mess it up. That's not faith. Judging yourself is trying to make yourself better. No, you know who makes you better? He does. And so this morning, I just want to encourage you to begin to live an upside down way. No judging. Not trying to make wise decisions. Not trying to make the right decisions. Unless it's the one. There's one wise decision. There's one right decision. There's one smart decision. It's all the same decision. It's living by faith with him. And when you do that, he'll give you the strength, inside and outside, to be successful in every way. He really is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. Guys, let's begin to live that way. Start thinking that way. And maybe it'll be slow at the beginning. It doesn't matter, because if you're trying, you win. Not getting it right, you're going to mess up. It doesn't matter. You win. You win. Well, how do you know I win? You know, how big do I have to say he is? He's big. He can handle you and your mess ups. Well, he doesn't. Just try it. I trust him more than I trust your. I trust his ability more than I trust your inability. 1,000 times more. I even trust him more than I trust me. And when you live that way, there's no pressure. You're at peace and at rest, even as you're still growing. You're at peace and at rest, even as you're still traveling down this road. And all of a sudden, we're all the same because we all have the same dad. Got the same dad. So it doesn't matter who you are, Jesus is waiting for you. Yeah, Lisa, you can come on up. I see Lisa in the wings. I feel like this is a big decision. It takes faith. So what Paul said in Romans 12:1, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. That's the Greek word sarx, which is where we get the word flesh from. That's all I've got. I can only give God me. But when I do that, His fire takes over. It's interesting. I think just even the analogy he uses there in Romans 12:1, offer them as a living sacrifice. You know what they did with the sacrifices? They burned them. And the aroma rose into the heavens. Jesus wants to set you on fire. And it's so beautiful. And it's pain-free. So this morning, I just want to ask the Lord to speak to you. What's your goal? How do you judge yourself? How do you evaluate your life? Proverbs 14:12 is still true. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Jesus came so that we could live, we could have life, and life more abundantly. So let's all stand up. I believe that this is such a radical thought that it's almost hard to imagine. Alan, you're saying that if I'm trying to follow the Lord, that's the key that unlocks heaven? Yep. Yeah, but what about my habits? What about my addictions? What about my wife? What about, you know, that's not in the Bible. What is in the Bible is trying to follow the Lord by faith. That's what is a pleasing sacrifice to God. So this morning, I just wanted to invite you to live a very simple life with me. I believe it'll transform you. It's transformed me. He shows up all the time. And He's faithful. Nothing's beyond His reach. So let's just close our eyes. I want you to think about it. So Jesus, I ask that you would speak to each one of us this morning. So God, would you reveal to us today if we're still living by judging ourselves? God, would you show us if we believe that judgment is what's going to help us and make us better? Now, Jesus, I ask that you would speak to each one of us right now about that. So, Jesus, would you reveal to each one of us in this room, our friends online, what is it do you want? What do you want from us, God? So I just challenge you this week, begin to live by that one simple thing. It's not easy to live that way, but it's so simple. And if you'll live that way, you'll find the power of God taking over. One day at a time. One day at a time. So this morning, if you're here and you've never made that decision that you want Jesus, we'd love to pray with you. We have a couple of teams that'll be down here to pray. If you're here and you just need healing, physical healing, heart healing. If you just need God to speak to you, we'd love to pray with you this morning. And I want to thank, I got two things. We had a worship night, worship, prophetic, and healing night here last Friday night. That the it was really, really good. We'll be doing more in the future, I'm sure. And thank you guys. It was powerful. Everybody worked so hard to do it. And Friday night, we have the children's event here. Then also, it's Cabot Fest, right? And one of my friends, James Bennett, pastor at New Life Church here in town, his church is doing the first hour of worship. And he asked that all of us pastors that meet together, if he said he'd love for us to be there. And he was surprised when Cabot Fest people, organizers, called them and asked them to come and lead an hour of worship to kick off Cabot Fest. So if you're free and you're not, I know, that'll be fun. I was like, come on. He said I could stand on stage, but I can't sing on stage. I'm like, well, I just think I won't. But, okay, so that's Friday night. If you're not here with the kids, we'd love for you to be at the worship event with those guys, okay? So thank you so much for being here today. And we go on with the shame-free gospel, all right? God bless you guys. Amen.